When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 17th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Are you a database engineer? Let's go. You should be applying for our open position here at PitcherList. Go to PitcherList.com/hiring for more information. John Gray, 7 innings pitch, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. This was a good one. Second straight start for John Gray, doing well as he killed it against the Giants and did well here as against the Angels. 50% usage on the slider is everything we want to see, and the four-seamer was well spotted. Now he gets the Diamondbacks, the Mets, and the Twins, and I'm all for that one. Reed Demers did really well. He's been so bad, and they went against Texas, got the win, 7.1 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 4 walks, 5 Ks. He was flirting with another no-hitter, but how it was in the first no-hitter was I didn't really think he pitched that well, and I don't think he pitched that well here either. He was sitting 93-94, not the 95-plus that we saw earlier in the year that got me excited. The slider was just 4 over 28 whiffs, and not a single pitch earned over a 30% CSW. It's kind of how he went, 7-plus innings at 108 pitches. A lot of those went into play, and they found gloves as opposed to grass, which is very odd considering it's the Rangers. What he did have good slider locations. It was down and glove side a lot more than what we've seen a little bit recently. The four-seamer wasn't elevated, and maybe there's something to that of actually being more east-west than Blake Snell blueprint for Reed Demers. I don't know. It's the first time I've really seen it, but I don't really think that this was domination from Reed Demers. We're going to watch this one for YouTube as well. So definitely if you want more Reed Demers analysis, go check that out there. Mike Clevinger for the Cubs, against the Cubs, killed it. 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Have I been undervaluing Mike Clevinger? Obviously, I'm not a fan of what he does off the field. As far as your fantasy lineups go, he gets the Mariners, Athletics, and Tigers next, and I still don't really believe what Clevinger does with his repertoire. I don't think there's anything elite here. It's earned some whiffs on his four-seamers upstairs in the upper half, really. All outs came on pitches that were right, like, down the middle and very easy to hit, and they just weren't crushed by the Cubs. I don't know. It's maybe he does enough against those. Maybe at least one or two of those actually come through. So, all right, consider it. PL Bot got this right. I've been on a terrible streaming record for the past, like, I guess that's what, 2 weeks, and Peelpot is killing it with things like this. Mike Clevinger against the Cubs, pick that one. Blackburn, if you want, by the way, the Peelpot picks, you got to sign up for PL Pro. Paul Blackburn against the Cardinals got the win, 7 innings, 0 in runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. This was pure kitchen sink, and I was out on this because Blackburn just looked lost last time, and all of a sudden he picked it all up. 30 pitches on his curve, slider, and changeup. 47% CSW between them. Absolutely bonkers. Sinker and cutter were called strikes. So he gets the Royals next. I don't know how we feel about the Royals right now. The Royals are messing a lot of pitchers up. It's been really frustrating. I'm going to say maybe. And then you have like the White Sox after that. Like, maybe it works. That's all I'm going to say. Yes, you can get wins if you pitch well for the Athletics, by the way. Mackenzie Gore against the Red Sox, 6.1 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. This is great. This is the first time we've really seen Mackenzie Gore do good things in a long time. I don't really think that he did anything too exceptional, though, with his pitches, and I'm not ready to jump on to this cherry bomb. Charlie Morton did amazing stuff against the Yankees. It was an amazing curveball, earned a King Cole 40% CSW. It's what you wanted to see, and I guess we just kind of, like, I call him a hipster because you're taking a chance on ERA and whip every night. But the win chance is always so good, and he generally has enough strikeouts. So I guess you just got to keep going. Charlie Morton, and it's just so annoying. Aaron Civale did really well against the Giants, exactly what you wanted him to do. Also, 65% cutters and curveballs, which is great, as opposed to the 55% that I saw before. I'm happy the Rays are not overstepping there. After all, good to see it. He gets Rocky Road in Miami and Boston up next. Like, yeah, we're going to keep going with that. Ross Stripling followed Ryan Walker, who did his job, but then Stripling did not. 5 runs and 11 hits against the Rays. Maybe there's a win chance there as he continues to be opened for. That does open the door for him pitching the 5th and 6th. But, yeah, I don't really want to chase Ross Stripling. Clayton Kershaw, Tatiaga did his job, except it was just 2 strikeouts against the Brewers on 21% CSW. And whatever, we just keep going. But I do imagine the Dodgers are going to continue limiting him. It was just 71 pitches in five innings here against the Brewers. Got you a win, of course, because it's the Dodgers. They don't need to push him, right? They're 10 games up in the West right now. So I imagine they'll be very careful with Kershaw. And just keep that in mind, that probably those 7-8 inning games that we know from Kershaw in the past likely are not going to be here. It's probably going to be a lot of these five innings, five and dives for a bit for Kershaw. James Paxton against the Nationals, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. This is great. It's weird to see 0 out of 14 whiffs on the cutter, and his four-seamer isn't missing nearly as many bats as we've seen before. And now he gets the Astros and the Dodgers. I'm kind of suggesting bench, and I know that sounds wild because Paxton has been so good, but the actually like the last 3-4 starts have been very shifty for James Paxton. The four-seamer isn't overwhelming that we saw earlier on, and the Astros and Dodgers are legit. So I just want to throw that out there. Obviously, we always say start your studs and stuff, but is Paxton really one of those in the last 4 starts? It was only a 22% CSW against the Nationals here. Be careful, and don't overextend if you don't have to. Javier Assad against the White Sox, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. There you go. After doing 7 innings of dominance against the Jays, he did it again here, and now he gets the Tigers and Pirates. I guess we're going to stream Javier Assad. Let's go. It's a better cutter here, and everything was a tick down and stuff, but keep in mind, there was also some relief stuff before, so I don't really want to lean too much in that. Really good arm side sinkers, and I like that. You guys know I do. You will get 6 innings at 81 pitches if you continue to do that, Assad. Blake Snell had the Blake Snell blueprint. Finally, he did his own thing. It's only 5 Ks, even though he did the separation that I always want to see. He didn't have as many whiffs as we normally see from them, but he did great. Like, 2 walks. I'm super, super thrilled about that. Blake Snell is going to ace. We keep going. Andrew Abbott against the Guardians did fine. I don't really think anything was really good. Actually, I would argue that he didn't have his best stuff here, but he still made it work, and I'd be happy that it was a win here and everything was productive for you and gave a thumbs up. He gets the Angels and the Diamondbacks, and we keep starting him there. Tyler McGill got a Gallows pole at 16 whiffs. Not the most electric night. I think actually a lot of really good pitchers just did not do well, and we'll get to those soon. As he went against the Pirates, got the win. That's great. He was 95-96. He hit 98, but it's not like 96-plus that I've seen in the past. And 9 over 56 whiffs is not really something I want to believe in for McGill's four-seamer. Sliders and changeups are still underwhelming, and I just don't like this. And not to mention his Atlanta next, so we don't do it. Slay Sassoni survived-ish against the Rockies in Coors. I mean, yeah, they're not the most overwhelming offense in Coors actually anymore. The Woba is not. It's like 10th or 12th or something like that. So it's 4 innings of 2 earned runs. I don't think anything is good here, and he gets Texas next. So no, Randy Vasquez against Atlanta, obviously not. You don't start Randy. And also, they don't really want to push Randy Vasquez too much. By the way, I hope you enjoyed the watch party on Playback last night. It was a lot of fun. Austin Bristow and Dave Cherman did a great job. I will be randomly just going on Playback and watching games with you. I might be doing it tonight. I might not. But if you're not a member of playback.tv/pitchlist, you won't know when I start actually hosting a watch party randomly. And it's really fun. The community just comes together and we all just watch a game together. It might be tonight against with the Dodgers game. I might just have in the background as I do the SP roundup. Like, this is the kind of stuff that you're missing out if you're not a member of the Playback community. So playback.tv/pitchlist is just like Twitch, but we have live games. Come check it out. Sign up. It's 100% free. Just make an account. Verify your MLB.tv and you're good to go. Dean Kramer against the Padres was okay. It was 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 base runners, 4 Ks. The cutter is still good. Everything else, though, I don't really think was great. And I think we just keep going with it. But I probably bench against the Jays, but then the White Sox and Angels after that were good. And we have Wade Miley against the Dodgers. Obviously not. You don't want to do that. But he navigated around the Rangers and Padres. If you went the day before where Adrian Hauser went, he would be getting the Rangers and the Padres. However, now he gets the Twins and Cubs, which is so much better. I think we're okay. Probably that's like the top of questionable against the Twins after. All right. We have a lot of guys to talk about. A lot of these really good pitchers who just did not do well. We're going to talk about all of those, of course, in tomorrow's games after this break. This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick to 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. underdogfantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PitcherList and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Kenta Maeda did against the Tigers, 4 innings of 300 runs and 87 pitches. However, he got 14 whiffs still. The splitter wasn't as good as we've seen, and the slider just did not back him up. The splitter was kind of gone. And it's really annoying because last start, the splitter was worse, was the worst we've seen. This was a little bit better, but the slider stepped up and didn't hear. I don't think it's just like a downward trend now for Maeda, but he's in this weird valley, and he just needs one start to take off the TR and make everything good, and he gets the Brewers and Guardians or whatever. James McArthur, I opened for Alec Marsh, who went 5 innings and 1-run ball, 5 walks and 6 strikeouts, and I just, he's heaters down 2 ticks, and it's a much loopier slider, which generally sometimes speaks to more whiffs, and it was 4 whiffs, so no. Luis Castillo had a one-night bland. It was weird. He was suddenly at 95 miles per hour, as opposed to like 96 or 97, or maybe sometimes harder. Weird. Maybe it's the Royals being really good. I don't know. We ignore it, move on. Same with Justin Verlander against the Marlins, 4 earned runs in 5 innings and 9 hits and 2 walks and 2 Ks and just 3 whiffs and 14% CSW. What is this, Verlander? I don't know. We're just going to keep starting him too. Same with Aaron Nola. I mean, Aaron Nola against the Jays, he got a win, I guess, but 7 Ks. What's weird about Nola, I mean, only 4 hits allowed. Just 4 of them. And like, he allowed the hits on 4 seamers, 2 4-seamers and a curve and a sinker. Like, 50% strike rate on the curveball is just not it. And that's so weird because it's always been so good with it. It's just so annoying. The skills are really good here with Nola. You face the Jays. Like, you just got to keep going with Nola. And it's, I feel your pain, man. I wonder where he's going to go in drafts next year. I'm probably going to be more in than others. New team. Also, it was a contract year. You don't got buy in a guy on a big contract. But, like, I don't know. We'll see. You want Oviedo against the Mets. Bad fastball. We don't want this. Reese Olson, not very good. Yeah, he's a young gun to me. He has a good slider, nothing else really yet. And I think like the skills could be there. It's just he's not there with the fastball and changeup. Kevin Gausman had a one-night bland too. Like, what's going on? All right. I know all these guys can't be that. And one of them won't be. I'll get to that in a second. Noah Syndergaard against the Reds. What do you know? Four-seamer is not earning more than 5 whiffs in a start. It's 1 over 27. And it's not very good. And there you go. In Cincinnati. Not what you want to do. Austin Gomber. 8 out of his last 9 were 2 runs or fewer. Well, now 8 of his last 10 because it was 6 earned runs against the Diamondbacks. And yeah, this is kind of what we expected when you have like a 14% strikeout rate in that run. Mathew Liberatore, very disappointing after having the 95 mile per hour fastball. It's like 92.5 here without the slider, without the changeup, and it's all gone. And yeah, sorry. It was against Oakland. He had a terrible first inning, maybe settled down a little bit, but he still had 13 base runners. This is why he was a questionable start and not a probable start, because I was excited after the one start of excellence and getting Oakland, and still not good. So yeah. And then there's Jesus Luzardo, man. It is so painful. I hate the fact that Fast brought up Luzardo in the OTC 4 starts ago, before this terrible run where he's allowed 20 earned runs in 4 starts since now, because it felt like a victory lap, and I hate taking it, but it was also just tongue-in-cheek, because if you guys know, Fast and I made a bet publicly on the OTC, just like a, you know, friendly one. I think it was May 5th, about Luzardo being better than Fast thought, and we set like, you know, 370 ERA and I think 117 whip. And I was cruising. I had won it, I thought, 4 starts ago. And then now it's been 20 in a run since. It's just like, okay. So what do we do with him? This was the Astros. So first of all, I want to address that one. A terrible first inning. And then he did settle down a little bit after that for the next 2.2 innings. But that's 2.2 innings, Nick. 84 pitches. I know it feels like I'm making excuses for him, and I get this. And also, it's really tough because it's the Padres who are really good against the lefties next, and then the Rays. And the Rays maybe is fine because the Rays are in a different state right now. The Padres are just annoying. At the same time, 96, 97 on the fastball. It's not like he's getting gassed. You know, I've heard the argument, oh, he's at his max limits, innings he's ever pitched before. Maybe he's, you know, not having the same energy they had before. Like, but the velocity's there. Right, normally we see a velocity dip at this point if he's exhausted. Doesn't seem like that. 40% CSW on the slider. He did make mistakes on him. We're going to watch it on YouTube also. We're going to watch 2 today. Also, 4-seamer command was still good. It's weird. I know I don't want to make excuses. Like, I totally get it. Like, four straight starts, you don't want to do this. If you want to bench against the Padres, by all means. He's not cooked. We see this all the time from players that they have peaks and valleys. It's never just like that ERA through the entire year. Usually it's like two starts or three. Four is really rough. Two of those were, one was the Rangers, one was the Astros. Now it gets the Padres and Rays. But I really think that if you hold on to Lizardo, especially for September, you will be rewarded for that. So just do what you want to do with Lizardo. I hope you guys understand where I'm coming from with it. I'm going to watch it also on YouTube today. And maybe I have a different tune after that one, so definitely go for that one. But from what I saw yesterday, not all of it, but I saw some of it, and I was like, yeah, this is good. And maybe that gets different. We'll see. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow's games. We've got, like, no games today. We have six of them. So this is pretty easy stuff. George Kirby and Zach Gallen. Kirby gets the Royals. I don't know how to feel about that. And Zach Gallen, of course, against the Padres. You're starting both of these. Chris Sale against the Nationals should be good. Tarik Skubal's got a good fastball. It's against the Guardians, good. And Lance Lynn against the Brewers are doing that. Probably starts Corbin Burns. I know. It's against the Dodgers. Dodgers are such an elite offense. The cutter hasn't been so good. He hasn't been an ace in the last, like, three starts or four starts. So, I'm a little scared about that one. You have Jose Quintana as a stream pick of the day against the Cardinals. I think his command is just so good. I need a streaming victory. I'll be honest with you guys. I know this. I'm so hyper aware that I was 70 and I think 42. Or 52. It was 70 and 52 in my streaming record. I am now 72 and 61. It has been a bad 2 weeks, but just like everybody, you know, even with pitchers and stuff too, like, we all have our peaks and valleys. It's just kind of trust the process and over results. But I mean, I'm still, you know, I still feel confident about this, but come on, let's go, Quintana. We need you. This is another good one that feels like it should be much better than just a normal stream. You have tomorrow starting pitchers. Actually, I'm sorry, I skipped around here. We have do not starts. We have no questionable starts. Only do not starts. Stephen Curry, you don't want to do that one. Patrick Corbin, Rich Hill, Angel Zorpa, and Adam Wainwright. You know, thank you. And then you have tomorrow starters. You have Spencer Strider. You have Pablo Lopez, Gavin Williams, Brandon Woodruff. Woodruff is at Texas. And we have this grouping in the probable start. You have Sandy Alcantara and Bryce Miller kind of near the bottom of it. Same with Jose Berríos. All terrible matchups. How is Brandon Woodruff in this one and not those guys? And not with them. Woodruff, to me, I feel like is just more of a stable four-seamer, like pump that in, should have success kind of thing, where it's not really about being against Texas. Well, we've seen Alcantara stumble against better offenses. Bryce Miller the same way. Those are scarier to me than Woodruff, who I do anticipate to get his aces going to ace after this start. So that's kind of where I'm at with that one. Probable start here, you have Michael Lorenzen, because of course you're going to start him against the Nationals. Seth Lugo against the Diamondbacks and Brian Bello against the Yankees. If you want to flip those two, by all means, I just think that Lugo is in a good situation pitching for the Padres, while Bello is really just sinker changeup, and that kind of bothers me. as I mentioned, Sandy Alcantara, who has 32 innings in his last four starts, which is insane. That's averaging 8 innings per start in his last four games, including two complete games of 9 innings each. Ridiculous. And then you have Bryce Miller against Houston. If he has the slider working, he'll still come through, but I understand if you want to bench him. Same with Berríos. I mean, I understand it completely. That's why it's probable, not auto. Questionable start here. Guess what? My stream pick of the day is Cole Reagans. I had a whole thing inside the streaming thing about this. I want to make this very, very clear. I absolutely adore what Cole Reagans does. To me, he's like a unicorn of having 5 pitches that at any moment he could just throw. He could literally just throw this and they are all successful. Four-seamer, cutter, changeup, slider, and curve. I think all of them are great. It's still obviously a little bit rough around the edges, though, right? We just saw 4 walks against the Royals. I think, honestly, he just should have thrown more four-seamers. I think it's a really good pitch, and he kind of got a little too slider and secondary heavy and kind of cute with that, which is fine. I'm normally a fan of that, but I feel with Reagans, you should be a little bit more aggressive with the four-seamer because it is that good. We'll see. There's a lot of other things, too, Nick. Like, you get really excited about these young guys, and they don't pan out right away, and then, like, they don't, and you feel like they're going to be better than they are and they need more time to develop and stuff, and very much could be the case here. Totally get that. What I will tell you is that I will likely still be on Reagans after this one against the Cubs because his schedule is fantastic after this, and if the skills are still present, I'm going to watch all of this, of course. If the skills are still present with Reagans and the results aren't there, I'm going to buy in. I try to be as transparent as possible with you guys about what skills I see and how I translate them. And if Reagans, he's throwing 94 and doesn't have the command on that fastball, or he just can't throw strikes with secondaries or all that kind of stuff, he's throwing pitches in the middle of the plate, all that, then I understand. Then I would be out. If I feel that Reagan still has the skills that have gotten me excited thus far, then I'm just going to keep going with it. So do what you want. You understand where I'm coming from here. I see someone who has 5 legitimate pitches. Like, it's crazy to see this. And it just gets me so excited, especially being someone that we didn't really care about like a month ago. It's awesome. So he's a questionable start streamer. So I get it. If you want to bench him, you just want to wait and see, totally get that. I'm going to be like, you know what, Cole Reagans, you're so fun. I'm going to do this against the Cubs. Kyle Gibson against Oakland. You have JB France against the Mariners. Tony Gonsolin against the Marlins. Andrew Heaney against the Brewers. Tyler Anderson against the Rays. And James Santino against the Royals. All these seem pretty good. This is actually a pretty good questionable start here. However, I do see all the ways that these don't work. Kyle Gibson's incredibly volatile. JB France had that really great start last time, but like we've seen him not do very well. Tony Gonsolin against Miami, you never really know what you're going to get. You're chasing like a 5-inning start here with a win. Andrew Heaney just went 1.1 innings because he was ill. Like, I get that. If you don't want to do it against the Brewers, also the innate volatility of Andrew Heaney. You have Tyler Anderson going against the Rays, but his changeup's been really good. And then there's James Santino against the Royals, where he didn't have his command last time. The Royals are kind of good. Actually, I was very tempted to put him in do not start, but I also recognize, like, okay, one start after 6 of doing well, maybe he bounces back, and the Royals maybe aren't as good as we've been saying. Do not start to get Brandon Fott against the Padres. I don't trust the slider, and I don't trust the fastball. Not simple. Matt Manning against the Guardians. Maybe go 6 innings. I don't know. Zach Thompson against the Mets. 4 innings in 2 games that we've seen. One was a start. One was relief. He's now replacing Steven Matz. And Zach Thompson's kind of interesting. They gave apparently, I saw in a playback chat that they had a comp for Kershaw, not because of skills, but because of like, hey, 4-seamer with a big curveball and a slider, essentially the cutter. And I get that from the left side. Obviously not Kershaw, but keep that in mind. Like maybe there is something here in those 3 pitches and you make that work and he's getting the opportunity now. Kind of exciting. So I understand if you want to kind of deeper leagues, take a chance on Thompson here so that you have him after. But you don't necessarily want to start him in that first one against the Mets. He is kind of stretched out, so there's a chance he goes 5-plus here. I'm curious about that start. Johnny Brito against the Red Sox, maybe it's 5 innings for a win. Luis Medina against the Orioles, I mean, I don't really want to do it. Slider hasn't been there for 2 starts. Yoan Adon isn't very good against the Phillies. Kopech and Coors, Peter Lambert's on the other side. Alex Cobb gets Atlanta. Andrew Jackson, Brett Kennedy, Joey Lucchesi. Are they going to go with more than 3 innings? Like, none of this do I want to do. And the Tampa Bay bullpen is at the bottom. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for the support. My name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.